Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, producer and creative executive, Lou Murray.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And performance guest, writer and director, Marilyn Magnus. I am Mark Leger. And now, our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
This episode, like all our episodes, is evergreen. Evergreen can be listened to at any time, probably for decades to come, even though we have titled this episode, Sharing the Spirit of Christmas Every Day of the Year. Maybe most especially because we've titled this episode, Sharing the Spirit of Christmas Every Day of the Year. Now, it happens to be that we are playing this episode around the Christmas time. And it also happens to be because we at the Life Changes Show, our family will be spending time with family and with loved ones during the holidays. We decided to pre-record the show. The reason I'm sharing that is because it just so happens to be that today is December 10th. And in a way, on December 10th, 60 years ago, the world found out that it had changed 60 years ago. And it's relevant to Christmas, it's relevant to children, it's relevant to the subject, the project that is so exciting that we're going to be talking about. And I'd like to look at it as a wonderful omen. So on Thursday, December 9th, the day before, in 1965, 60 years ago yesterday, CBS Television gambled big on an animated spectacular, which now we call them specials, but back then it was a spectacular that no one actually expected to succeed, that went on to become a holiday tradition and a trendsetter, but not just that. The next day, today, the 10th, the newspapers reported how, in a way, that show that happened on the 9th changed the world. According to a Smithsonian Magazine article, over 15 million households tuned in. That was nearly half of American television sets at the time had watched what the network put on. And the executives were saying, quote, "I thought, golly, I'm suddenly involved in something that's big." And another one said, quote, "We only expected it to be on once and then never heard from again." So 11 years later, A Charlie Brown Christmas would go on to win a Peabody and an Emmy for Outstanding Children's Programming. The success of A Charlie Brown Christmas changed the network's primetime philosophy. It changed so much, actually, that that the stories are still being reported about it 60 years later. In fact, from no specials, no spectaculars at CBS, to just a decade later, CBS was airing 80 to 90 television spectaculars annually. And it all started with A Charlie Brown Christmas. And what I think is also special about this and how I think it ties in is because I, having the pleasure of knowing Lou and have one of our guests that you'll meet tonight, and having her share the process, I have known, A, how much love and ingenuity they have put into this project. I've also known how quickly some things have come together and how modestly at times it's come blossomed into such a beautiful thing. Well, Charlie Brown Christmas, similar. What began as a modest, quickly assembled holiday experiment became the cornerstone of decades of Peanuts programming and one of the most endearing seasonal specials in American television history. I feel this is a great omen for Knox Knop and what we're going to be talking about today on the Life Changes Show.
Wow, connecting to that history and at this time that we're living in on the planet and the energy that we get to share tonight, it's almost a return to joy.
In so many ways, there's nostalgia here, which also connects us. We'll talk about the 2D cartoon. So there's so much here.
And that's much better than having the football pulled away when I try to kick it in the side yard after.
Typical Charlie Brown. You know, Mark, so the episode being called Sharing the Spirit of Christmas Every Day of the Year, in a sense, Lou has inspired that title, as we know, because she is so much about hospitality and about sharing and about caring and about giving. And so really, she brings that spirit of Christmas every day of the year.
That it couldn't be more well said. And that's why I think that the co-creation that we're learning about and what's going to be shared tonight are both opportunities to model.
And so as I got to know Marilyn, and we'll talk about them in a moment more and meet them, I felt the love that was in the story. I felt Christmas. I felt so the two of these, this is a power team. Can't wait to get on it. So I'd like to say again, we're calling this episode Sharing the Spirit of Christmas Every Day of the Year. It's our episode 873. I'm going to read as much of this as I can because I love these titles. We're featuring interview guest, President, EVP, SVP, Experiential and Live Entertainment Leader, IP Development, Creative Operations, P&L, Cirque du Soleil, Disney alum and producer, creative executive, and co-creator of Knox Knop. Our interview guest is Lou Murray. And our performance guest is former Imagineer and executive creative director of live show development for the Walt Disney Company and writer-director, co-creator of Knox Knop, Marilyn Magnus. Welcome, Lou and Marilyn, to the Life Changes Show.
Oh, my God. Thank you. We could not have, Marilyn, don't you think that we couldn't have expected a better intro than this, especially with the wink, wink at Charlie Brown?
No, that was just fantastic. I learned something. I have loved that show since I was a little girl, but I did not know that story. It's such an inspiration to hear you tell it, Filippo.
Well, I'm glad, and I've been inspired from the moment Lou sent me the song that we'll talk about and we'll get to hear in a little bit. I felt like I was a kid again. And so please, one of you run with this and tell me, how did you do that to make me feel that? And thank you.
Oh, well, I tell you, I mean, I will love to jump in here. This whole thing, Filippo, as you know, was written for children, in the spirit of children. You know, I've been around kids and directing kids and writing for kids my whole life. And so I'm a fan of children's imaginations. I am constantly curious as to how they think and why they are so filled with joy and wonder. And to get a chance to inspire that in them again and in their parents and in their families, and to, you know, to hopefully get up on that shelf with some of these, as you say, classic, enduring, two-dimensional cartoons that have, you know, a real spirit and a real morality about them is a thrill. It's just been a thrill, the whole ride here and developing this.
And if you guys think that I'm Christmas all day, every day, Marilyn is that on steroids.
I love it.
Yeah, you know, Filippo, I have 415 Santa Clauses. I am a collector. Oh, the house goes up at Christmas in June and comes down in May. So, you know, just to dust off everything, put it up again. No, I love the season. I love everything about it. I love what it stands for. It's, you know, it's not just a season, it's a feeling, as they say in Miracle on 34th Street. It's a feeling. So it's been just a joy to try to, you know, reimagine that for the children of today.
So let's the story, it what's we'll talk more about this because you mentioned 2D and I mentioned nostalgia. But before we talk more about it, it actually all started with something I didn't know until I didn't connect to that this was a real problem, a real question. It wasn't just like, wouldn't this be cute? And it's very cute, but I had no idea that a child had this concern. Please share with us the concern.
My daughter is a teacher, and she teaches in public school. And she came home one day after teaching her kids and said, "Mom, you know that poem you've always read to us? 'Twas the Night Before Christmas when all through the house." Of course, I love that poem by Clement C. Moore. She said, "Well, you get to the part. I got to the part today where the Santa slid down the chimney." And one little boy raised his hand and said, "Well, I guess he's not coming because I don't have a chimney." And she kind of stopped. And then another little hand went up, another little girl said, "Well, we don't have a chimney, you know. I live in a group home," another little kid. So, you know, five or six hands go up in this little classroom, and Molly comes charging home, says, "Mom, you got to write something. You mom have to take on this worldwide problem for children who don't have chimneys, who are actually a little worried that maybe Santa will skip them." And it wasn't just getting the presents for children. It's Santa is, you know, the magic of Christmas, and the whole idea of the reindeer and the joy of it all is something they would miss, and that's what they're yearning for. So basically it wrote itself, I have to say this. It was written in, you know, a few days. It started out as a little children's book in the same rhyme and meter that Clement C. Moore did his famous poem, and it just deals with the fact that if a kid doesn't have a chimney, Santa's going to get in, and how's he going to do that? So that's the basis of the little story, and that's what we were trying to do, is to uplift and delight and calm these kids who are worried about this.
So I want to know more about that, but Lou, what part of the story did you jump in? Like feet
So
first.
Marilyn, you know, and we're going back 6 years ago when, you know, when Molly came up and asked for this, and Marilyn reached out and she said, "Lou, what do you think about this?" And you know, she had already written this beautiful children's book, Chimney or Not, Here I Come. And looking at this, I said, "Oh my God, Marilyn, this would be so good to bring to another medium." Because you know, when you've got a good story, content is medium agnostic. So we could really take this to not only a different way of telling the story, but in order to reach even more people. And we reworked it a bit, right, Marilyn? We went at it a bit differently, but it also birthed something else, because working with Marilyn is always not only an immense joy, but we know that whatever will come out will be better than the idea that we start with. So when we were talking about all of these things, about no chimney, no problem, one of the things that came to us as in discussing everything, we saw right away that kids are facing issues. They can come up with solutions and ultimately and in a resilient state that can make things evolve and grow and all that stuff. So
Nice.
this is where the whole knock snop thing came together, which is no XYZ, no problem. And we know it's catching on, because everybody that knows us and that knows that we're working on no chimney, no problem, I've come up, you know, adults are sending me jokes left and right about no XYZ, no problem. I think Marc Lesur might have used it a few times already. We'll let him be responsible of that. But Marilyn, would you say that from a story perspective, this is where we ended?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, No Chimney, No Problem originally was just a story for children at Christmas until frankly Lou got a hold of it and said, there is a bigger vision here. Let's talk about what No X might be. What else can you think of that bothers children? Well, I spent my life with children, so I, immediately had four or five things that I've experienced with children. They don't have a pet. And everybody else has a pet because they're allergic to fur. And wow, what we should write a no pet, no problem. And or they're an only child, and all their friends are have brothers and sisters. And so I wanted to write no sibling, no problem. And find ways
Wow.
for them to be mentored through these little stories, usually by an adult or a teacher or a friend or a family friend or an aunt or somebody who can talk to them in their language and listen to them, explain why they're concerned, and then come up with some fun, clever, often comedic solution full of love and in very, because kids are so smart. They get things much faster than we do. So you don't have to drill down too far. You have to present a solution to them and they'll write it for you. They're way ahead of you. So the fact that these kids, are going to get this and they're going to see immediately, oh, well, I don't need a chimney. And of course not. Santa's going to get in anyway. And so it follows that any problem I might have, there's got to be a happy solution out there. I'm just not looking hard enough.
Well, I have to say, you all found a happy solution to not only work together, but I think it's interesting how both of you, Lou, I know for sure, Cirque du Soleil, et cetera, and you, Disney, you've worked, both of you and together, on the big stage in big productions. And all of a sudden, like you've turned your attention to this micro studio, you call it, I think, right?
Oh yeah.
How is like you said no big production, no
No
problem.
studio, no problem.
No big
Yeah.
budget, no problem.
Yeah, it is a homemade affair right now, until we find some partners out there. It's really Lou and I just trying to do our best to get this out there for kids.
And it's also, I think, Filippo, what we have to look at is how technology has empowered Marilyn and I to be doing this in, not only in record time. And the special sauce here is the fact that Marilyn and I have a lot of experience and are driven by storytelling. This is a 6-year overnight success. And when I say this, I'm talking to a team with you and Mark and Dorothy that have been at it for 15 years. So, I don't need to add more to that. And your audience knows that too. But more importantly, I promised Marilyn 6 years ago that this would happen. We met up with some studio folks, but neither Marilyn and I are very well known, or we're not superstars or whatever, nothing like that. But the advancement of technology, but also the evolution of media has, like I said, empowered us to be able to bring this to the world. And this is how within 2 months, we have created our own YouTube channel, and we're international music publishers, like I like to tease us, because we're laughing while we're doing this, right? Because we know how to do it. Now we're empowered to do it. So this is where we get to fully live what we set out to do, because ultimately it's all about sharing this great story. And we've been blessed all the way through within the past few months that people are loving it as much as we are every step of the way. Marilyn, you can talk to them about just the music collaboration to get this going. That's been amazing.
Well, music, we live and breathe these musical shows. That's really what we have been working on forever. And so it was incomprehensible to me that there would not be, a musical underscore and a musical theme, even a Knox Knop theme, which we have not yet developed. But So we went to, actually, I went to Stan Freese, who was the director of the Disneyland Band, an old and dear friend. He has two professional sons in the music business. One of them, Jason Freese, is young and vibrant. He is a member of the Green Day Band, professional, flies all over the world and performs. He's also a songwriter. And so I mentioned this to Stan. He said, "Well, talk to Jason." I talked to Jason. I said, "Jason, what do you think about writing a song? When you believe in Santa Claus, let's call it that. And it's for kids who, and in a few days, Jason composed this fun pop song. He sang it. He's got a great
Oh,
voice
that's
and
him.
sent it to, and that's Jason. And he recorded it in his home studio and sent it to us. And then, of course, Lou, said, "Jason, we can't, we can barely afford to buy this from you." He said, No, you can have it. I believe in the project." He said, "And it's real for me to know that kids, might be hearing this or singing it or dancing along, and that it would help solve their problem." So that was a huge gift. And those kind of gifts are coming out of the woodwork here, with the art and, just the animation, the guy who's animating this, who I'm sure Lou can tell you all about, who's doing this on a prayer for us, just trying to help. Everybody's caught with the spirit of this, and the goal of it is very clear, and it's an unselfish project, and that's what is making it so appealing to both of us.
So when I was saying earlier how I felt like a kid again, so the song was very cute and fun, and then I got to hear the story, and that's when it hit, where I was listening to a grandma. Now I wouldn't think of you as a grandma, Marilyn,
Oh,
I have
I
to
am.
say.
Oh,
Well, and you
I'm
are, but
200 years old.
and
Don't
so
you dare say she's not. Don't you dare. I casted her for that. Come on.
and she's so perfect. And I sat there and I felt like, oh, I'm in for a story. Like I like my breathing slowed down. Like I think I was in my car. I was ready to perform, actually. And you texted me, Lou, and you said, Filippo, get a load of this. And then it put me in this great state. And I'm like, I'm just gonna have to listen to the whole of it. And I did. I listened to all of it. And I texted Lou right away and I said, we have to have this on the show. Is it ready to put out there? And here we are. So what you're not, are you acting? Are you, what, where is that voice, that love, that feeling come from?
That's me sitting down and imagining I'm telling this story to my own grandkids. I have five grandkids, and they're all under nine. And so, for them to sit and listen to this, I really just read it for them. And of course, there's a little grandson in the story who's just like my own. And I'm worried, Grandma. He says, "It's Christmas Eve. Is Santa going to be here? We don't have a chimney." And go, story go. So, what would Grandma say to her grandson, too? And it just turns out that the little story is actually a flashback when she was a little girl and Santa came. She didn't have a chimney, so she knows. She's been through it, which so many adults have been through things that children are now going through. But to have a grandma who really has nothing to lose but to tell her own story and console and encourage her little grandson so he can go to bed and go to sleep so Santa can come. So it's very simple. There's really no science to it. It really is a very simple, loving, easy to tell story. And I'm just so thrilled, Filippo, that you're allowing us to spread the news here and to reach kids. Because, as every book writer or author would tell you, if you don't get read or you don't, share what you know, then you're writing for yourself. And that was never our intention.
Well, Lou, is there anything you want to chime in there before I take us someplace else? Because I feel you.
I think that when people will see the story and when they will hear the story, because both are possible by now, I think that they will see what Marilyn just talked about, that when they look at that grandma and when there's a throwback where you see her as a little girl and when you see her with her grandson, this is Marilyn's universe. And we were able to step out of that universe by having Santa come in and by having the elves come in. And when we got with the elves, this is where we said, all right, we can open this to the world.
Mm.
And you know, little characters were built. And I think that at some point we will be asked by the audience to do a sequel to this, Marilyn. I think we will need to have elves number two. I think it's gonna be asked of us.
So there could be a whole song like Rudolph, because I've already been thinking, because there's bows,
yep.
There's cinnamon,
yeah.
There's jingle. I don't need to go on.
Skates.
Somebody
never take the skates off.
is it Toodles?
Toodles. He's the musical elf. Yeah, he's got drums and horns hanging off his belt. He's always ready to play. And Squiggles, of course, the smartest of the bunch, who, you know, is organizing the workshop. And, you know, I mean, what else do kids want to be at Christmas but an elf? If they can identify with one of these elves, there's a little black elf, there's a little Mexican elf, a little Latin elf, little blonde valley girl elf that talks like, hey, Santa, you know, this is going to be great. You know, they're all kids. They're kids. They're little iconic kids. So I'm hopeful that of these eight little elves, there's one for everybody. Everybody's going to have a favorite. And that was fun to develop those little characters.
So, Marilyn, I didn't know about you having, how many Santas did you say?
400 and some odds. 478. I just got one from Africa. Any friend of mine, now, Filippo, if you ever go travel and find a Santa that I don't have, bring it back. Because I'm going for 500.
I love that. Well, and so not only do you have Santas, I learned you believe in Santa. Please tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I get asked this, even my own grandkids, you know, do you believe in Santa? And I have to say yes. So what is that? You know, yes, of course. And I've studied it. You know, I'm a student of what I write about. I want to know where it came from. And, you know, we all know the story of St. Nicholas, Christian bishop in Turkey, you know, a real guy who stuffed stockings and gave away money and helped the poor. And, you know, that the founding of this great story is based in a real human being, a real man who then, you know, became Father Christmas, who became Sinterklaas. And so the names and this spirit of this guy has translated into countries all over the world. And finally, due to Norman Rockwell and Coca-Cola and some of our great American business partners, we created a Santa Claus, an English version of Santa Claus. So yes, I deeply believe in Santa Claus, in the whole story and what he stands for and what he's capable of. I haven't ruled out the magic of Santa Claus being a real thing. You know, it could be all my years at Disney that had me believing in Tinkerbell and fairies and pixie dust and Mickey Mouse, but I think it's healthy. I think believing in fairy tales and magic and believing that there is some possibility that the world can exist on a great plane that we're just a part of, some joyous existence that is built for us, is fun. And I think it's healthy for little kids to ground them in that. They're soon enough going to grow up and face their own problems, for which I don't have answers. But while they're young and they're struggling, boy, I want to be there for them and try to help.
Well, that's beautiful. And with that said, there's something to be said about the feeling that I got of listening to somebody who sounded like a grandma, whether I consider you that or not, you are. And the bringing the wisdom in a fun way. And what I was getting, and I know you both have thrown words out like helpful, encouraging, delighting, love. You've thrown out a lot of words actually in all the things that I've listened to you all. So you like you said, you've been through stuff. Parents have been through stuff that kids haven't. So what is it, is if there were a trend that we could bring forward in today with the magic of Christmas, of bringing the wisdom of the grandmas and the grandpas, how would you describe that and its need?
Well, Lou, do you want to jump in here?
Sure. I think, Filippo, that what we're living ourselves while doing this amazing project is we are seeing that by communicating what we are trying to solve, people are stepping forward to come in and help. And I think that one of the best thing that's going to come out of everything we're doing is it's like setting an example of how to reach out for help. But even stronger than that is with that invitation to come and help, you will see people answer that call. And I think that if the humility that it takes to reach out and ask, you will see the compounded effect of people wanting to join in and do it. And I think that this is what got Marilyn and I to really look at what other little stories we could tell. Because Marilyn, you mentioned, right, no pet, no sibling, no sport. There's all sorts, right? No sports, no toys. But the last episode that we are thinking about is no love, big problem. And this is where all of that we're doing right now, and we're thrilled to be starting with No Chimney, No Problem because of that time of year. Marilyn and I love that time of year, so it's just a conduit for it. But it's also the start of the red thread that will go through all of the other stories and ultimately be grouped up in No Love, Big Problem. And I think, Filippo, that whenever I say to people when we're, you know, sharing what we're doing, and when we finish up with No Love, Big Problem, I'm getting hums like you just hummed right now. And I'm getting, you know, Ned's heads just, you know, acknowledging. And it's just reaching people. But I think it's a mixture of the nostalgia of simpler times. They weren't necessarily more simple, but they were just perceived that way. And I think that it's with the little stories we're telling, we're just allowing people to come back to that essence. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm saying, but I feel it. I mean, it makes sense to me.
So much sense. And I'm hearing many things in what you said. I'm hearing like barn raising, community coming together, family, and especially at this time of year, instead of giving a gift or going out to buy something, how about supporting in a certain way each Absolutely. Other's projects, right? I'm hearing that.
Absolutely. And what's really interesting is, with No Chimney, No Problem, somebody asked me, Lou, what if, you know, you had access to Roblox, you know, which is the place or the digital piazza that kids go to a lot these days. I was asked, what would you do with that? I said, well, you know, it's always a little quirky in those piazzas. And I would say I would make it a contest for people to have Santa enter a home in a very novel way.
Nice.
You know, the kindest breaking and entering stuff that you enter, but you leave it better than it was, right?
Nice.
And you know, I'm sure kids would have a ball building this world where they you know, quirky works. It would be amazing. But I think that the biggest gift we're giving to people, and Marilyn is an amazing creative, and I love her, and I'm just hoping that with this, that the world will fall in love with her just like I have, because I know it will. I just know that. And because you did listen to the entire soundtrack, Filippo, I think Marilyn has the gift of, you know, making the unseen visible. I really do. In the way that she writes, in the way that she directs, in the way that, because I've had the pleasure of seeing her work and I've had the pleasure of reading her. And it's really that. It's all coming together in a very, in very much in flow because of who she is and how she's doing it.
Well, Marilyn, you're so much in the story. What I also heard from Lou was that the kids are being seen in all the problems that are being brought forward. The kids are being seen and their quote unquote problem is being acknowledged, and that they have an opportunity to figure out a solution, et cetera. So this feels to me like it's inherent in your family life. Are we getting a glimpse of what that is?
Well, if you go back to my parents, you know, it was all about, you know, we want you to believe that you can do something. You know, I go back to how simple this really is. There is probably my favorite line in this whole thing is when Santa writes the note to the little boy, or he's written it to the grandma, of course, and she's kept it all these years. And she now gives it to her grandson. And we see in the background Santa writing the note, and he says, oh, when it comes down to Christmas, you don't need a prop like a fireplace hearth or a chimney on top. Believing can make any big problem small and show you that it's not a problem at all. Those four little lines for me just encompass the whole thing. If you believe that you can do something and that you can beat it, and you get and you listen and you try, then you are going to succeed. At some point you will come into the sunshine and you will step out of this little rainy spot that you're in. So that's of course what Santa is all about. He is all about believing in goodness and magic and the power to make things better and bring happiness to each other. And so that was an easy story to write. Now, when you come down to the other stories, you know, I have to find my way in to those. You know, what is it about a little boy or girl who doesn't get to have a pet because they're allergic to it or because they can't afford it? Or, you know, what are they going to believe in? And frankly, you know, I have a million ideas about all that, and I can't wait to start writing some of these other stories. Because I think if I can, you know, stay abreast of how smart the kids are and what they want to hear, then it will be easy to continue this little story.
Well, and you've been busy with this and sounds like a lot of other things. And in the meantime, we haven't given out the website yet. Knoxknop, just like it sounds, knoxnop.com. knoxnop.com. We have so many links for the music and the video and all that. Basically, they're on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. It's all at Knoxknop Official, Instagram and TikTok. But you can find links at the Life Changes Show, both for Lou Murray and for Marilyn Magnus at the Life Changes Show. We're going to be actually getting to hear Marilyn's great voice and the story, at least a teaser of it. In our next segment, we are also going to get to hear the song that kids are already dancing to it. I think, Marilyn, you came up with the dance steps, but we'll talk more about that in a little bit. In the meantime, we've been talking to Lou Murray and Marilyn Magnus, and we're talking about the song When You Believe in Santa Claus and the book that goes with that song, or the song that goes with the book. What's the book called, actually? I'm confusing myself. No chimney, no problem.
Yeah.
But the original book was something else.
Yeah, it was, what was it, Lou? God, so long ago.
Lou said it earlier in the show. That's what
Chimney or not, here I come.
Yes, very clever.
That was the beginning of everything.
That was based on, you know, the hide and seek game for kids, you know. Ready or not, here I come is what a kid yells out when they're going hunting for their friends. So that was Chimney or Not, Here I Come. And the reason it was not, you know, it was No Chimney, No Problem is because there was a chimney company that had that name. So we couldn't get it for the book. So I just made up another name. So, but then, you know, when Lou came up, and this is to her credit, she won't admit this, but she came up with this idea that No Chimney, No Problem could be part. That's why we needed that title, because now we have a title that springboards us into 100 titles. There's things with, you know, there's no end to this. It's just a fun way of reaching kids and helping kids be happier. So that's the goal. So that's why No Problem is number one, we hope, in a series of a whole bunch of other little things. No X, no P.
Clever, clever. Okay, well, thank you for explaining that, because I heard Lou say that and I thought, oh, wait, how did that all play in? Well, we'll get to talk more when we come back. In the meantime, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment. But before we do, Mark, thank you for introducing us to Lou to begin with, and then sharing this part of this story at this time feels like actually exactly what Lou is saying. It feels like being part of something that's growing, and it feels good.
And so needed. And the combination of heart and creativity that they bring really comes through and shines through. You know, I mentioned modeling at the beginning of the show.
Mm.
Boy, do we need new traditions and new mentality and new behaviors to model for our kids. And I think this is a great way to get it started.
And some of what has been coming out on the show from both of them, actually, on how there's wisdom that we have either forgotten. And yes, there's nostalgia, but even the way Marilyn, we haven't talked a lot about this, but the way Marilyn wrote this, it's rhymey, it's fun. It's like a kid listening to, I don't know how many books rhyme like that these days.
That's why I was calling it a return to joy. And you know, consumerism and selling the next, you know, transactional story every year, it has taken precedent. And now getting back to reminding us of the season, why the season, but also connecting the broader world together in that harmony is just beautiful.
You know, actually, I think it was Lou who I listened to say something like, currently the video games and the so much that's out there, the TV shows, is about control, power, victory. And when I listen to that, I think, yeah, I get that. And on the surface, there's nothing wrong with that. But where's the love, and where's the compassion, and where's the, you know, the caring? And there seems to be an imbalance.
It's right here tonight.
It's here tonight. It's here tonight. Well, we'll have more of it in just a moment. Actually, this includes it. Here is our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Patty, and I have a 4-year-old son who believes in Santa Claus, and I love that he does. However, my ex-husband wants to tell him before this Christmas that Santa does not exist. I believe that doing this will be very detrimental to my precious son. How can I get my ex to change his mind?
I'm glad you asked this timely question. Your instinct to protect your son's sense of wonder is loving, wise, and developmentally grounded. I researched the benefits of a child who is 4 to continue to believe in Santa, and discovered that at age 4, imagination isn't just cute, it's a core part of emotional and cognitive growth. Children this age need magical thinking. It's how they explore hope, joy, generosity, and possibility. So, dear Patty, I think it will be great for you to do your own quick research on this and then determine the best way to share your findings with your ex. Once you have researched and discovered the positive benefits of imagination and magical thinking at his age, please share your research with his father by writing and sharing what you believe are the most important reasons for not telling your son that there is no Santa. You can begin the letter telling him that the two of you can discuss this in greater detail in person, and letting him know that you are simply sharing your thoughts about both of you caring about your son, and that this is not about who is right. What I discovered in my research on this is that at your son's age, belief in Santa is completely normal and actually helpful for his emotional development. The articles also said that psychologists say that imagination and magical thinking at this stage support creativity, emotional security, and joy, and that most kids naturally outgrow the belief on their own around age 7 or 8 without anyone having to tell them. A good way to begin the conversation would be by telling his dad that you believe telling your son now could be confusing and unnecessarily upsetting for him. You can also share that you believe that you both want what's best for your son and that you are trusting that the two of you can agree to let him enjoy this part of childhood a little longer. It could also help if you tell him that you are just wanting to do what supports your child's development and keep the holidays joyful for him. I trust that if you choose to write a sincere and well-researched letter on this subject, that you and your ex will come to an understanding and get into alignment on this important situation.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, just believe and write her at AskDorothy@LifeChangesShow.com.
Nice. And now for our performance segment, we get to enjoy both Lou Murray and Marilyn Magnus again. And we're going to get to experience both the song and the new holiday animated short, or at least a teaser of it. So I think we should start with the song. And who wants to chime in on how this came about, the whole dance and the whole thing? I mean, we already got the story on the song, but yeah, the video and the dancing and all that.
Lou told me to go do a dance is what happened. She said, Marilyn,
I want you to do it.
I put your phone up. Of course, I love dancing. I've danced since I was a little girl and was a choreographer well before I was ever a director or a writer. I had, you know, music and dance. Dance were, you know, and piano, all of that. I grew up with all that. So, yeah, it was fun to do it. And of course, I have a little granddaughter, you know, two little granddaughters who are both good little dancers. So I wanted to teach them this and see if they, you know, and they beat me to it. In fact, they suggested steps. Pat your tummy, Grandma, when you're talking about Santa Claus, because that's what you do. And, you know, you spread the, so it's just, we kind of made it up together and then put it, stood up and shot it with our phone. And now I don't know if you saw this, Lou, or if you've seen this, Filippo, a teacher sent us back a little video of her dancing it in her classroom. So she's learning it. It's very simple. And, you know, so it was just fun. It was fun to create and it, nice. Another fun thing to do when you're listening to the song.
Nice. I love how both of you are well, is it more Lou saying, go do this? But yeah.
Lou, come on. You are encouraging me every step of the way. You know, you say, here's another idea, Marilyn, why don't you do this too? And so, you know, we're just, you know, Pat, adding presents under the tree is what we're doing. We're
encouraging each other. How beautiful.
Absolutely. How beautiful. And it's also, you know, Filippo, when you have somebody as talented as Marilyn by your side and thinking of how many different ways you can reach the audience, and you have a partner like her, and you just call her up and say, you know what, Marilyn, with that great music, you know, if we could get people to dance, it would really be cool. And there she goes. She puts on that red shirt and, you know, and bless her husband, Steve, who had to put the Christmas decoration before Halloween. We committed there and we apologize for that. But, you know, and Marilyn steps up and she just does it. And I mean, everything, every day that I get to work with Marilyn, I pinch myself to say, holy moly, what did I do to deserve this goodness? You know, it's
Well, actually, since you said that, I think it's important this year, especially, to mention that putting the decorations for Christmas up before Halloween in the past might have been very traumatic, but either because they've been doing this in the stores for years, or this year in particular, people have felt like they needed a little Christmas a lot sooner. And so they've been putting decorations up earlier in their house than ever, is my understanding. And that being said, this is why I think what you both are doing, it's like we need a little Christmas throughout the year. So we're starting with this story, and then there'll be other stories which share the spirit and the love of what you all, and the wisdom of what you all are doing. So thank you for that. Let's get to the music. Here is When You Believe in Santa Claus, and say again who
Jason Fries. Jason Fries. The composer, and on the show, on the little animated show, Scott Erickson, who is also a composer and an arranger and a studio engineer, has produced it for the elves to sing along to. But originally, of course, it came from Jason's heart and head, and so we are very grateful to him.
Well, thank you to him, and thank you to you two for bringing this forward from the hearts of Lou Murray and Marilyn Magnus. Here is, for the first time ever on radio.
Yep.
When You Believe in Santa Claus, here on the Life Changes Show.
But not anymore. Ho, ho, the mistletoe and jingle all the way. Voices are singing and bells will be ringing all day. When you believe in Santa Claus, bringing toys for girls and boys, he's gonna tug on his beard to make your presents appear on Christmas Day.
When You Believe in Santa Claus. And now you all know the song that's been living rent-free in my head for weeks. And thank you for that. Talk about starting Christmas early. So that's really special. And again, we have links to the song and the video, and you can see Marilyn singing and all that. You can go directly to knoxnop.com, N-O-X-N-O-P.com, and see all the links and everything there. You could also find Lou Murray and Marilyn Magnus at the Life Changes Show, and we have some of their story and also many links, including a couple videos. So now, speaking of story, Lou, you suggested we start from the top, and this is the part that just kind of gets you.
And... Yep. It does, doesn't it? I mean, it's as though you, even if you hear Marilyn for the first time, you say, hold on. There's a resonance of it that you, have I heard this before? Because it's so familial. It's so familial and familiar. And I think, you know, when I first heard the entire soundtrack, I cried because I said, we nailed it. We really, 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 really nailed it. So
yeah, and speaking of, there's the cadence, there's the voice, of course, there's the love that's coming through, and then there's the way it's written. So just real quickly, Marilyn, since we don't get to hear this often, what's the rhyme, and how do you so easily come up with rhymes? Because you said it was easy. I didn't think it was.
Well, it talk about modeling. I modeled this after Clement Seymour's poem. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. So this is the rhyme scheme, you know, as a little bit of a poet, you know. I've loved poetry. My mom used to read me poetry as a little girl. So that lilt, that it, it does two things. Number one, it's pretty and it's easy on the ear, but it's also memorable. So when when you're writing in rhyme, kids very often repeat rhymes from the time they jump rope to the time they play games and sing children's songs. Everything rhymes. So they remember it. It's the oldest teaching tool in the world for a child is to teach them something in rhyme. So it's written for a child in words and lyrics that they understand. And I guess because I'm part kid, it's never really left me. So it is, but I have to give credit to the original author of the original poem, because it's the lilt and the rhyme that is replicated in this story that is a direct lift from the original poem, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Mm. Okay, well, before we hear this talk about giving credit, we've got some great voices. Santa's great, and the grandson, of course, which you mentioned, and the little girl and the elves. So tell us a little bit about all these wonderful people.
Oh, well, Scott Erickson, who is a premier writer and composer and arranger in Los Angeles, and an old and dear friend, both of us, he came to us and said, I would like to do the underscore for the show, and I would like to produce the song that the elves sing. And in that package, Scott also offered to research the voice talent. And we said very clearly, we don't have a lot of money. We're not going to hire 8 different elves. He says, I have the woman, Barakame, who is a voice artist who does film and television, and she's a miracle worker. And Scott suggested that she do all the elf voices. Well, I didn't even believe it that it was possible. So Berica came in, and Randy Crenshaw, who is the voice of Santa Claus, who is, been around forever, movie actor, television actor, just a fantastic voice artist. And then Eli Witcher, who is a little boy who looks and sounds exactly like that little boy. It could have been written for Eli. He just looks like him.
So
those were the 3 people that we brought in. And of course, Berica, I think you've even seen these outtakes of the studio where she's recording all the elves, changing her voice in a second, and doing all 8 of the elves. Half of them are little boys, and they're all different races and cultures, and she just nailed it. So that was fun to bring this to life with the 3 of them in the studio. And then, of course, Scott working his magic in the underscore for the show.
And Barak has also the little girl, right?
She is also the little girl, yeah. She just threw that in, which left the grandma, which left Lou saying, well, Marilyn, Who's gonna play this role?
Absolutely, and I'm sticking to that for sure. And I think, Filippo, one of the things that Marilyn and I wanted to do so badly, so with Scott and Randy and Berica and Eli, but also on the animation side with Chris Moras, we know that LA and the ecosystem has been hurting. And we're not the richest producers in Los Angeles, but we're definitely potentially the least greedy ones. It was important for us to do what we could to have it locally supported and supporting the local back too.
Nice.
And we could not have asked for better people to come in and help us. And I remember when Marilyn and I came out of the studio, when we recorded all the voices in September, I said to Marilyn, we just heard the soul. This thing has a soul right now. And, the animation will be the physical aspect of it, but we just met the soul today.
Actually, speaking of that, I think when you sent me one of the versions, because there were different versions as they were coming out, Lou, and at one, I think you felt like that was the final, and you said,
yep,
like, knowing that I had heard all the other ones, you could say, well, you could listen to this too, or you could just play it and fall asleep to it. Like, it was like a safe way to fall asleep with someone telling me a story.
Yep. Absolutely. It's like a hug. You're receiving a sound hug. That's what you're receiving.
Oh, well, let's receive that right now. So here is the first 4.5 minutes or so of No Chimney, No Problem. You'll hear it coming from the hearts of Lou Murray and Marilyn Magnus here on the Life Changes Show.
You know this story, don't you? The one where Santa arrives on Christmas Eve and slides down your chimney to put toys under the tree? What? You don't have a chimney? Well, neither did I. You see that little house? I've lived right there ever since I was a little girl. You could probably tell by the lights that tonight is a very special night. In fact, it's Christmas Eve, and my little grandson is paying me a visit. Come on, let's see what's on his mind, shall we?
Grandma, I'm worried, because it's Christmas Eve. When Santa gets here, do you think he will leave? We don't have a chimney, so what will he do?
I'm glad that you asked. I've a story for you. We didn't have a chimney when I was real small, and somehow that didn't bother Santa at all. For Santa has magic that no one can see. I know it's all true, 'cause it happened to me.
Really? To you?
Oh, there isn't a doubt.
Tell me, Grandma, and please, don't leave anything out.
All right. I suppose we should start at the beginning. Now, Santa got hundreds of letters that year, but one special note made his smile disappear.
Dear Santa, please help. In my house in my town, we don't have a chimney for you to slide down.
My friends don't have chimneys, and they're worried too.
But I told them that Santa would know what to do. Mom said you wouldn't skip us. She said I've been good, and you'd find a way to get in if you could.
The cookies and milk will be waiting for you.
I believe in you, Santa. I know you'll come through. Remember me, Santa, this Christmas Eve night.
Please come to the house with a little porch light.
Santa called for his elves, and they all gathered round. They listened intently, not making a sound.
I called you together 'cause I just got this letter, and it's time that we make all these children feel better. These kids without chimneys are good girls and boys. We must find a way to deliver their toys. You're smart little elves, and I know you can do it. I leave in 3 hours, so better hop to it.
So, the elves went to work. Not a minute was wasted. They measured and scribbled, they glued and they pasted, they cut and they scissored, they crayoned and penciled, they sawed and they hammered, they printed and stenciled. Like smart little elves, they came up with a fix, a magical book full of secrets and tricks.
Have something for me?
We sure do! Take a look!
Ho ho! No chimney, no problem. A magical book.
This magic will help you get in and get out.
It's for places with chimneys.
And places without.
Now kids everywhere will get all your surprises.
No matter their color.
Their shapes.
Or their sizes.
No chimney, no problem. Each page has a clue.
Just read the book, Santa. You'll know what to do.
This magic is fun.
And it's all guaranteed.
Thank you, my friends. This is just what I need.
And then, with a wave and a wink of his eye, Santa hitched up his sleigh and flew off through the sky.
Goodbye, Santa.
Have fun.
First little yard had a big pile of snow.
Easy there, boys. There's a long way to go. Let's see what my book says for house number one. Ho-ho, puppy door magic. Oh, this will be fun.
Santa jumped from his sleigh and he ran around back. He suddenly stopped and he set down his pack. For a wee little puppy door Santa had spied.
It's as good as a chimney to get me inside. Now it says in the book I should tug on my beard.
So he did, and like magic, the door disappeared.
Oh, what a cliffhanger. Perfect.
Did he get in? I wonder.
I want to hear more.
Tune in. You got to tune in to Knock Snop Official on YouTube to see it all. Or You can, go on your favorite music streamer and listen to it over and over again.
And that entrance, I'd say step aside, Burl Ives.
Ah.
Oh,
Wow. It really takes us there, though.
I went and read up as well, and it talked about his grandfatherly presence. I thought, well,
Oh.
isn't it time to pass the torch? It's time for a whole
Oh,
new energy.
I couldn't hold his coattails. I mean, he was those old shows, Rudolph and Frosty, and some of those old 2D animation cartoons. They've lived for years and years and years,
Well,
when it's great.
that's why I referenced it, because that's where you took me, and those were some of my fondest memories. And so it was receiving a hug, and so excited to be here tonight to support the launch.
And looking forward to so much more. So again, knoxknop.com, Knoxnop, or Knoxknop Official on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok, Knoxknop Official. Looking forward to the rest of the series and the conversations around it, the heart around it, the learnings and the lessons. How do you say it, Lou? And the resilience, how does that go? The problem?
The issue,
Yes.
the solutions, and the reasons,
Yes.
because I think it's, and that applies to all of us. So
Yes.
I think there's something there.
Well, there is, and there's something here, and there's something that coming from the hearts of the two of you. This has been a very special night. Thank
Thank
you.
you, both. Thank you for having us. Thank you for helping us with this project. It's a really very deeply appreciated.
Our pleasure. And right back at you both for even Lou, what you said, as we come to a close, what you said about wanting to keep it within the ecosystem of Los Angeles and the artists here and the engineers and all of that, that's your heart's coming through in everything that you're doing. So may your hearts take you far, and may we enjoy with you all.
Absolutely. And
Thanks.
tonight,
Merry Christmas.
Merry
Yes.
Christmas. And tonight it felt like a fireside chat, and Marilyn and I haven't had that much time to take time to do this, so we're so glad we got to do it with you guys. Thank you,
Oh.
Mark. Thank you, Dorothy. Thank you, everything. Amazing.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you, Lou Murray and Marilyn Magnus. And with that is our show. Dorothy, would you like to?
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love it. Love you both. Can't wait to see the whole thing.
And more with that, and I heard you say, Marilyn, a Merry Christmas. So a Merry Christmas to all. And with that, that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Leisure, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio. And along with the whole family here at the Life Changes Show, we remind you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.